Welcome back to the Rarely Heard Fabry Disease Podcast, a 9-part series devoted to Fabry disease. Throughout the series, we hear from Fabry disease experts, patients, and caregivers who share practical advice, insights, and perspectives on living with this rare disease. Rarely Heard Fabry Disease is initiated and funded by Takeda Pharmaceuticals and is intended for an international audience outside the USA. In this episode, we will first talk to Dr. Bechtold Wielden and then speak to Martinez, both of whom are patients living with Fabry disease. They will tell us about their life with Fabry disease and provide insights and advice on managing the psychological effects of living with a rare disease. We will also hear how patient organizations can step in to support families and improve their mental health and emotional well-being. Hello, Bechtold. Welcome and thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Rarely Heard podcast. Before we start, could you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes, of course. Hello, everyone. My name is Bechtold Wielden, and I'm the president of the German Fabry Patient Organization, the Morbus Fabry Selbsthilfegruppe. Today, our group has more than 160 members, and we organize regional patient meetings and at least one countryside event each year. This year, it was a 3-day family and patient conference with about 100 participants. But we also publish a hard copy newsletter 4 times a year. I became involved in our group by one of the nurses who provides me with my infusions against Fabry disease at home. And she told me about the group and asked me if I would be interested in joining the board. At that time, I had no experience in working with a patient organization. I had some experience working with my local sports club. So I joined the group in 2014 and became vice president in 2018 and eventually president in 2020.
Now, could you tell us how Fabry disease has affected your mental health and emotional well-being?
Well, actually, when I was told that I have Fabry about 10 years ago, my doctor also told me that I would be needing dialysis treatment within the next 5 to 10 years. At that time, I was working as a manager and I wanted to do the next step in my career. So it took a while until I fully realized I had to rethink my career. I'm now actually an early retiree and I am more and more dependent on others, and that actually really bothers me and makes me feel down. But I'm lucky I can still go for walks. I used to go hiking when I was young, but now I can only do walks. But it helps me a lot when I'm feeling down and mentally exhausted. When I'm doing work for our organization, I get exhausted after a while, so I need to have a break, and walking a few steps helps me to clear my mind. As a patient with Fabry disease, you generally have to do more breaks. In the summer, the heat is a big problem to me, so I freeze apple juice into ice cubes and thaw them.
Right. Now, can patient organizations provide mental health support for patients?
Yes, patient organizations can offer mental health support. We support patients by phone, and often we help people find the right experts, doctors and also legal experts. But a lot of patients just want to talk to somebody who knows their problems. That is why we are having online patient meetings 2 times a month. And we receive the feedback from the participants of these meetings that this helps a lot. We also organize patient meetings regularly, regional ones, but also at least one countryside event each year. The regional ones last only 1 afternoon, and the countrywide events last for several days. Both sort of meetings, the online and the live ones, offer patients the opportunity to meet others living with the patient with Fabry disease, to support each other and to share tips on how to cope with the situation.
Well, that sounds helpful. And what are some common concerns Fabry patients may have?
New diagnosed adult patients often ask if they would still be able to work in the future and take care of their families. Younger patients often worry that they will not be able to take care of themselves in the future and wonder if they can keep up with their peers. They also face problems when they become adults because they have to look for new doctors, which might be in different cities. being able to talk to other Fabry patients helps a lot. Speaking with someone who has or had the same problems and finding out how others cope with problems is a real inspiration. And that's how patient organizations can help patients.
I believe taking an active role in the decision-making of your care can ease some of the psychological burden for patients living with a chronic disease. Could you perhaps share some advice on how patients can collaborate better with their doctors?
Patients should write down the symptoms, but also their feelings and worries. If they have a question about which treatment is suitable for them, they should write this down as well. By doing this, they are prepared when they are meeting their doctors. They should also insist on being informed of all advantages and disadvantages of all treatment options. This also includes options for helping them with their mental problems, if they have any.
As someone living with Fabry disease, how has that helped you in your role as leader of a patient organization?
I often receive the feedback that talking to me or one of my fellows in our patient organization makes patients feel better emotionally, both the newly diagnosed patients, but also the others. Just realizing that you are not alone and that others share your story helps a lot.
And do you have any final advice for us?
My final advice to patients is that they should always try to remain active, within their personal means and limits, of course.
Before we wrap up the first part of this episode, Bechtold, could you please give us a quick summary?
Yes. Patients living with Fabry disease should always reach out to other patients, and getting into a contact with a patient organization is often the first step. They should prepare in writing for the doctor's appointment, and insist on being informed on all treatment options physically and mentally.
Thank you so much, Bechtold, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
In part two of this episode, we're joined by Martinez again, who will share his experiences of the psychological aspects of living with Fabry disease. Hi, Martinez. It's really great to have you back on the podcast. Now, could you please give our audience a quick introduction?
Hello to our Really Heard listeners. My name is Martinez, and I'm a patient with Fabry disease. I work at a clinical research company. And in my free time, I enjoy spending time in nature with my friends, sometimes hiking, playing board games, or simply just enjoying life with my girlfriend. I am as well a member of the Lithuanian Association of People with Organ Transplants. This association is a member of the Fabry International Network.
And could you also tell us how Fabry disease has affected your emotional and mental well-being?
Yes, I remember that the physical symptoms of the disease itself were difficult to cope with. But finding out the diagnosis and the availability of treatment was a huge relief for me. It was the first piece of good news I received during the whole time being ill. Fabry disease really has affected my emotional health. From my childhood up on now, I think, this starts in early childhood when I wasn't able to go with children to play, you know. And I was often questioning my parents and my relatives. I mean, why don't you let me go outside? Why? I asked myself even, why don't I want to go outside sometimes? Because I know that I will go outside with children. They will run. I will run too. Then I will get pain. I will get tired. And I will want to come back home. Children used to go outside during the breaks, you know, to run, to walk, to do various stuff. I would stay simply in class, sitting or doing any other stuff, reading or just simply doing nothing. When later in my life, at school, for example, my classmates used to do very interesting things, like attending classes, like dance classes, like dancing is, you know, physical effort. So I started once the dance classes and I decided that I will not go. And the teacher said that you are dancing well, but I said quite angrily that I will not come again. While in the university, I mean, my university classes and sometimes after classes, people used to go somewhere to some restaurant, to some bar, to spend many hours together and then doing various stuff. And this pain crisis wouldn't let me sometimes go there. And when I wanted to participate in all these social activities, I would have some medication from pain and I would go, but still I was not the same as they were. They were all healthy. But I'm glad that they understand me, what's happening with me, because I told them. And later, I think my life started to get better. But still, there are activities where I feel quite limited, because walking long distances, like attending museums, like all the mansions and castles and the stuff I like, is really, really hard, because you need to walk sometimes. I feel very cautious when I engage in the certain activities. For example, when I'm traveling, I'm very aware of my gastrointestinal disturbances, and I'm worried that something unexpected might happen at any time. Well, situations like this sometimes make me feel excluded, and sometimes I don't participate in activities spontaneously and would rather do them in a safer setting. I'm unable to fully concentrate sometimes, and this affects such situations further, along with the other physical symptoms I experience.
Well, I believe managing your mental well-being is essential when living with a chronic disease. What are some coping mechanisms you use, and how have these helped you?
Well, one of the best ways I found that helps me cope with the psychological aspects of living with Fabry disease is talking to close relatives about my condition. Because if you keep quiet all the time, they don't understand you. They don't understand where all this arises from. And when you tell your loved ones that you have pain today or you have a fatigue today, they understand, why don't you want to do that? Or, you know, why are you sad, for example, today? And you don't need advice necessarily. Sometimes all you need is just somebody who listens and understands what you're going through. And bottling up all these emotions is not a good way, really, to cope with symptoms and problems. And I would suggest, you know, that you should talk to your spouses, with the parents, or any other person you trust, you love. And of course, I can empathize with other people living with a chronic illness, because I myself have experienced it. And I feel that people living with such illnesses should understand what the condition is, accept the situation, and to persuade themselves that although the situation is to some extent out of their control, changing their perspective or sometimes lifestyle with the disease, it should make life easier.
Living with Fabry disease can impact career prospects and social lives. Is this something you have experienced?
Well, I have learned through my lifetime that I cannot do much physical exertion. Like, I cannot chop trees or carry some hard stuff. I would need to find some job where I sit at the desk, for example, or I don't need to do many movements. And so the job that requires mental capabilities rather than physical. Of course, these jobs may be mentally draining sometimes, but I should evaluate carefully, so that it doesn't make me feel unmotivated and exhausted. One more thing which limits people who have Fabry disease is, I think it's the treatment with the enzyme replacement, because it should be done in some countries only at the hospital, and some countries allow to do this at home. So when you are having this treatment, you must lie in bed or sit in the couch, you know, and this means you cannot plan anything, you cannot go anywhere, and you simply stay in one place for sometimes for 4 hours, sometimes for 1 hour. There are different therapies, but still, you need to plan this, you need to schedule, and nobody can ask you to come over or for a meeting. And regarding the social life in general, I would say it's really, really important to have a good social life. Sharing your experiences with other people whom you trust, whom you love, and who you think it would help, you know.
Absolutely. Now, have you worked with a healthcare professional to help manage your psychological well-being?
And do you have any advice for other patients?
Well, myself, I haven't been to any professional who is dealing with psychological well-being, because I had to, and I still have many, many people who are willing to help me, who are willing to listen to me, to understand my feelings, to understand my pain, to give advice. Sometimes I call them whenever I need, I can just meet them, you know. And I think that this really holds me very well, because if I wouldn't have any people to whom I can talk and who could help me in that case, I think I would definitely go to some professional, because I know these professionals really have a great experience and I've seen many, many people who have one or other issues with psychological well-being. And I know that some patients having Fabry disease are attending those meetings with the psychological well-being consultants or psychologists. And the main rule, I think, is that you must talk. I mean, the patient, I must talk to somebody.
Thank you so much, Martinus. It is really great to hear that you have such a wonderful support network. Now, have you found that collaboration with your doctors helped improve your emotional well-being?
When I started experiencing symptoms, I didn't know what kind of disease is that and how long it will last and how it will continue. So first of all, I think it's very important to understand what is happening with you and is it going to continue during your lifetime. So I talked to doctors and they explained me what is the disease, why do I have it, and how they would help me to relieve my symptoms and what is going to happen most likely in my lifetime. So I talked to them. This was good news and bad news in one time, because I learned that the disease is inherited and I will have it for maybe for a whole my life. But the good news was that there is a treatment, I will get it, and the symptoms might will be milder and milder. So I liked it. This was a positive thing to my emotional well-being, because I was aware what is happening with me. And later, doctors used to talk to me and they would explain it many times, many various aspects of the disease. And other aspect of well-being is talking about certain things, like about symptoms, about family, about how to live with the disease, how to cope with the symptoms. And it's pretty important, I think, to talk to somebody who could help.
Definitely agree there. And can you share how your friends and family have supported your emotional and mental well-being throughout your life?
Well, my family was with me all the time. They were really supportive. They were talking to me. They were doing whatever is best for me. And it was my childhood. It was the same when I was in the university. If they couldn't, talk to me directly face to face, they would call me all the time and ask, how am I? Am I having some problems? How can they help me? And that was really, really very nice from them and very useful. It was mainly my mother and grandmother, and they would really spend all my bad days, together with me, like when I was lying in bed, when I was ill. They used to give me various, hot teas. They used to bring me toys and all the stuff that a child would like, And they would try really to relieve all my symptoms in all the possible ways. And they would listen to me and encourage me to try to feel as good as possible despite all my situation. And of course, I had later I had my friends. They always used to be with me and they would help me in all the situations where I needed them. So I'm glad about that. I think, it's definitely easier to share the experience about the disease and to ask for advice from someone who is experiencing something similar as well, so other patients. And I get that kind of support from our patient organization. And I think that being a part of patient organization for patients with chronic diseases is really important in this respect. Because when you go to your patient organization, you find people who are having the same symptoms, having the same diseases, you know, and they really know that they don't have to be empathic. Because if you ask them, do you feel the same? Yes, I feel the same. And you talk about that and you talk whatever is better to relieve the symptoms.
Thank you, Martinus, very much for sharing your experiences. I am sure your insights have been really helpful for our audience. Do you have any final advice for other patients?
I think that patients need to understand that they are not alone. Even if they don't know any other Fabry patient, there are many more people really who are going through the same physical and emotional challenges as any other Fabry patient. So that's why you have to find such contacts and talk to one another and find the emotional support and find some knowledge that you cannot find anywhere else, you know.
And before we end the episode, could you please give us a summary of this episode on emotional and mental well-being?
The psychological impact of Fabry disease is also very significant, and it might be both in adults and children. This might be some mental health issues in Fabry patients, and they are sometimes overlooked or underestimated, and much attention should be paid to these issues. And I would encourage the patients to get in touch with healthcare professionals if they have low mood or anxiety that is impacting the daily life.
Well, thank you very much again, Martinus.
Thank you for having me here with you today. It was really a nice discussion. Goodbye.
That's it for this episode of the Rarely Heard Fabry Disease Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed hearing from Bechtold and Martinus. Support the podcast by subscribing, sharing it with others, or leaving a rating and review. In the next episode, we will have Martinus join us again, this time in a conversation with Fabry disease expert Dr. Charles Lorenzo. They will provide valuable insights on navigating daily life with Fabry disease. This podcast series is initiated and funded by Takeda Pharmaceuticals and is intended for an international audience outside the USA.